Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall. I play Hera on Star Wars Rebels.
Chris Sullivan, you may know me as Taserface.
This is Richard Horvitz. You may know me as Alpha 5 from Power Rangers. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay, Zordon, the Power Rangers are in trouble.
And you're listening to the Fandom Podcast.
Welcome to the Fandom Podcast. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This is our spoiler-filled episode for Avengers Infinity War. And you know what? Guess what? The spoiler horn is being fired off now. So joining us this week, he's... Wait, Nick English, put that thing away right now. I don't want to tell you again.
I am Groot.
Whoa. We don't use that language here.
I am Groot.
You got some set of acorns on you.
Oh, man, I love this show.
All right, and he swore off dairy until they named a flavor after him. He's Jeff Dumas.
It's some like it. It's a little chalky, but, you know.
The Hulk I personally better, preferred right Hulka Hulka Burning
I was
love.
Thinking Hunka Hunka Burning Jeff.
Oh,
please don't ever say those words again.
All right. Well, I'm the new Avenger that Thor doesn't know about. I am Kevin Bacon. Wait, no, I am Brand Nuccio. All right. So we have fired off the spoiler horn.
Is Footloose still the greatest movie ever made?
Never was.
Oh.
This is the first time ever that we have hit this button during the intro stinger. I had to actually test on my soundboard whether or not it actually worked. Because this is a movie that you cannot watch without, or cannot talk about without spoiling something for somebody, even with quotes and jokes. I don't know if it's the fact that people have gotten too sensitive towards it, or the fact that there's just a lot to spoil in this movie. So in case you haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're still listening. I'm trying to stall for a minute for you to scramble to your pocket and hit the stop button, but... Okay, if you're still here and you have not seen the movie, Avengers Infinity War is the conclusion of 10 years of storytelling, which is what the Russo brothers said about it.
Don't know if it's the conclusion, the beginning of the conclusion, maybe.
The Russo brothers lie to us.
No, I think they announced that they're actually done making Marvel movies. The whole Ant-Man stuff, that was just a troll. Like, they're done. This is how it ends.
That wouldn't surprise me. The Russo brothers love to troll their audience. They're worse than J.J. Abrams. Absolutely worse than J.J. Abrams.
You're full of tricks, wizard.
You must be popular with the kids. All right, so this one was supposed to be the conclusion of all of the Avengers stories. They brought in over 50 superheroes to this one. I actually saw a really funny post in the Cosmic Potato Super Fan Talk group, Facebook group, words and stuff.
That's where, not a real thing. Hold on.
Where they made, those are words that all go together and form an awesome podcast. So, they posted in their Facebook group a parody of the Pokemon character rap.
Oh, the
Pokemon.
They rap.
Replaced all the Pokemon. With Avengers from the movie and possibly people who might be in them.
Is that where it came from? Because I could have swore I shared that from somewhere. I forgot. I didn't know.
Well, that's where the Cosmic Potato one is the first one that I saw. So they didn't make it. They just posted it there.
That's so fair. But the problem with the thing with that one is it was clearly made before Infinity War, but yes, It's still hilarious.
Yep. So we had a lot of them there. The Avengers Infinity War storyline, if you could call it that, I had some major issues with this film that we're going to be talking about, is that Thanos, the Mad Titan, the last Titan, is going out and searching out the Infinity Stones to put into his powerful gauntlet that he has so that he can reshape the world or the universe to be how he thinks it should be, which is half as populated as it currently is. Thanos, I guess he went through and he saw his planet be destroyed by overpopulation, and his plan was, hey, let's just do a random poll and see, or a random lottery, and half the people live and half the people die, and that will solve our problem. And so he's been going around since then to other planets, killing half of the population so that their planets could thrive and survive. And turns out two of those Infinity Stones are on Earth. And so the Avengers had to do with a lot of them. Thor's brother, half brother, adopted brother, Loki, he also had one at the very beginning. So that's in the Thor Ragnarok post credit scene. You see Thanos' ship come up to the Asgardian refugee ship in the very beginning of the movie. That's where you start out, basically. Yeah, so it's, I mean, there's lots of storylines going on here. It's hard to summarize this. It's a giant spectacle of a movie that is extremely entertaining to watch, but the story is kind of all over the place. The only consistent thread throughout the entire story is Thanos and how he wants to kill half of the universe and how he wants to get the Infinity Stones to get that.
I just want to start off by saying that they should have called this movie Thanos, but that would have been dumb. And so if you look at the movie as being the story of Thanos and everyone else as side characters, as opposed to the Avengers being the main characters of this story, it makes much more sense. And it doesn't seem so cut apart. And the first time I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, the Avengers. And then they were just kind of jumping around. I was like, okay, I get how they're bringing this all together. But then as I was like thinking about it, when I was, you know, just mowing over everything that I just saw, I thought to myself, no, I need to treat this movie as this is the story of the hero of Thanos, because he is the hero of this story in his mind. And that makes him one of the greatest villains that we've ever seen.
This is one of the greatest villains of all Marvel, of all the MCU. But I feel like, and I could clearly see how they were like, okay, we've got to do this so people can understand Thanos thinks he's being good with the with his own moral code that he set up. There were a couple times where Thanos broke that moral code, and I just thought, and did things out of character. And, you know, there was the scene where he was getting the Soul Stone and he had to sacrifice Gamora. And the way that they made him cry, that completely took it away from me. I'm like, I don't think that Gamora would actually make him cry. Yes, he said he cared for her, but he kidnapped her. And then he trained her to be an assassin, and then
raised her. Like, we only hear about the assassin and all that, but he still raised her. He was still his child. She seemed more like a child of Thanos than the Dark Order, or whatever their stupid name is.
See, and I would also say that the only thing, and the only, like, part of Thanos that we know is based on everyone else's report, right? He's a tyrant. Mm-hmm. He killed my family. You know, like everyone.
So what you're saying is Thanos is a misunderstood villain who only wants to kill half of all the universe.
What we're saying here is Thanos was right.
No, what we're saying is that.
Okay, let me rephrase that. What I'm saying is Thanos was right. Too many people. This world needs.
See, and that's what makes him so awesome. Like, right? Is that you're literally watching this movie. And he, at the beginning, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy just kills everyone and it's horrible. And then you get this little more nugget of like, no, he actually cares for Gamora. That is weird. Why does he do it? And then he's talking to, you know, Doctor Strange, and he's explaining like how he got to the point where he decided that he needed to kill half of the world. And you're like, I get it, but I still don't feel good about it. And so this is the only time that we have like literally seen a villain say, this is my plan. And it's not like that's a dumb plan. Like you get the full arc of like, this is how I got to this point. And you can kind of understand like that. I get it why you're there. It's still not right, but I can get how you got there. And then he actually even gave examples of it working. It wasn't just like, I have this mad idea, and if it doesn't work, you know, it's not going to work because I've never tested. Like, he legitimately has gone to worlds and tested his theory. He went to Gamora's world, killed half the population. It was in, you know, this flux. It was poor. It was losing all its resources. And then he could say, I did it. I shed mercy on those people that lived, and I saved their world. And my world wasn't saved because we didn't do that. And so we were able to see his plan in action. It wasn't just like, I am going to create a giant island and destroy Superman because I can. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, like, that's just stupid. Like, his plan was laid out for us in a, like, masterful way, in my opinion. And he succeeded. Right? And we got to watch that unfold. We got to watch, like, the other side of every superhero we've been, every superhero movie we've been watching up to this point. And we got to see everyone as side characters for this, you know, this journey that Thanos has gone on. Like, he's like, nope, Loki, you suck. You didn't do what I asked you to do. I've got to do it myself. And that was kind of the first little inkling of it. And then the only thing we've seen is that he's this horrible person up to this point. And then all of a sudden we start having a little bit of empathy and sympathy for him. And then we're like, this is weird. How do I feel about it? And like,
see, I guess that's where it fell short for me, because I never felt the empathy or sympathy for him, because I never felt like he was an empathetic or sympathetic character. I never felt like, okay, yeah, those reasons, I can see why you would buy into those reasons. Like, even if they're completely wrong, usually I can be like, oh yeah, you know what? When you look at it from that angle, yeah, that makes sense. But he didn't have any real reason. He went to his council and said, look, we're going to kill half of us, rich and poor, and we're just going to
The reason was because the world, like, I mean, he talks about it. We have a finite amount of resources and too many mouths to feed, and there's only one solution. And he had come to that decision. And he even says, like, one of the greatest quotes is, the hardest choices require the strongest will. And he has decided, I am the only person that has that will to make this hard choice. And how many leaders feel that way?
What about nowhere?
Captain America feels the same way. I have to make the hard choice. I'm going to crash this plane into, you know, Red Skull. Like, there's a parallel.
So
right?
Here's the problem with his plan, though. You look at places like Nowhere, that is a celestial's head, and humanoid civilizations have become advanced enough that they can create themselves a place where they can live on something that was not initially designed for it. So no, the only solution is not killing half the people. The solution is spreading out to another star.
But
okay,
here's the thing though: that star still only had a finite amount of resources. It's not about we're using up planets; it's that we're using up stuff. And yeah, granted, maybe he didn't have to destroy reality yet, but it was definitely that his long term, we are going to run out, and he needed to get on it quickly.
So my argument though is not, okay, so using that argument right there, Thanos saying, oh, you know, if we spread out, we're still going to use up all the stuff. Well, killing all half of the people, they're still going to use up all the stuff, just it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, but now,
and so his is a band-aid plan just as much as mine is, and mine doesn't involve killing half of the universe's population.
But hey, that's why he's Brandon, called the Mad Titan, right? And he's the villain, but in his mind he's the hero, right? Like,
hey, real quick, payback's a word you won't let me say on this podcast. You're just an angry nerd. You're just disliking it because everyone else likes it.
No, there are some other reasons that I dislike it, but
no, you're just an angry nerd. It's your job on here to hate stuff. You're supposed to hate stuff.
You want to join the clan? Right,
and you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the really funny thing about that. You're completely right. I have the exact opposite viewpoint as everybody else, and I'm okay with that. I went onto Facebook and I publicly said, "Hey, I didn't love this movie. It was something fun to watch. I got to see all my heroes interacting, but as a movie and a story in and of itself, I would watch Thor before I'd watch this one." I didn't say that in the Facebook post.
That kind of blows my mind. I mean, just honestly, there's so much depth to this movie, like way more than like anything in Thor. And maybe it's just that you didn't like the depth. I don't know. Like, maybe you didn't want to think. Maybe you just wanted a popcorn film and just be entertained and be done.
Well, no, see, the depth in this one, it just felt a little forced. It felt like it was a little bit by committee, and I think that's part of what made me, what turned me, because I really liked it up until about the point where they were on Titan, and they were like, okay, here's our plan. We're going to take the gauntlet off. And then I started seeing things and I was like, ooh, that doesn't look good. This isn't making sense. I'm having a bit of a hard time with this. Or no, you know what? No, the turning point was not Titan. The turning point was when Thanos was getting the stone with Gamora. And Gamora started mocking Thanos, and I was like, that's a little out of character for Gamora. That's not who Gamora has been in the past.
It seems like she was just
got to rub it in.
Yeah, she was just bottling it up. If you're in a battered relationship, and then you finally get to confront your person, it's a very relieving. Like, if you actually have the chance to go and be like, you hurt me and you were terrible to me, it is out of character, because up until that point, you had to change who you are to try to conceal and not feel. And so
what you're saying is I just need to let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let them in. Don't let it show.
Be the good girl they've always told me to be.
As soon as I said that, I regretted it. But
welcome to my world.
No, it's just. Oh, I've been there plenty of times too, Jeff. I think it's just kind of the token moniker of our podcast. It's kind just of the Hagrid
fandom podcast. I regret saying that.
I shouldn't have said that.
I should not have said that.
Okay, yeah, so
I actually loved that scene, because I felt like it actually gave more substance to the show.
See, and to me it just felt like, well, yeah, this is obviously where it's going to go, and maybe it's because it felt like they drew it out a little bit too long. Like, maybe if as soon as she started mocking him and he turned around with a tear on his cheek, he had done something, rather than her going off for two more paragraphs about this is why you're wrong and you've never loved anything and you're going to lose now. Well, and if he would have been like, I'm so sorry, and
well, he
and
did
taken
say
her
that.
And thrown her off, like a little quicker, if the pacing had been a little quicker, I might not have.
But I think that she needed that moment. Like, I think the build up to that, like, while she was going off on this crazy rant, you were like, how, what, like, if it, well, if it would have been super that, quick, it would have been like, oh, well, okay. But
you
like,
mean like Loki's death giving,
yeah,
it was giving us the chance. Well, Loki's had enough screen time. Her doing that big speech was giving the audience enough time to be like, Gamora, he loves you, he's going to,
yeah, like, we came
you.
We came to that decision ourselves. And she was still not.
She didn't realize that even after everything he's done to her, he still loved her.
And I guess my problem with that is that the audience, Gamora is a smart character.
Smarter than Gamora?
And I don't think the audience feels like they're normally smarter than Gamora. I couldn't come up with a plan to save the Harbury batteries. I know that's not the word.
They're called Arbulary batteries.
No, they're really not.
So I couldn't have come up with a plan like that. So I look at Gamora and like, you are a really smart person when it comes to strategy, and you're able to see all these things. And maybe
but
she had a blind
yeah,
spot.
She's not.
But what?
She's okay, not so, in an emotional state to be like, think about it. Like, she's literally like the one thing she's been trying to hide from him so that she could like save the universe. He has now taken that away from her. Like, she is down okay. to her lowest point, and then she realizes, I'm not at my lowest point, and, like, all of the adrenaline and all of the endorphins or whatever you want to call it just rush, and she's just like, oh, my gosh, and she gets this release of, like,
okay,
I'm going
to
win right now.
I am completely willing to admit that I missed the point on that one and that I'm wrong and that they did it perfectly well. I'm willing to admit that, but what that happened when I missed that point was it took me out of the movie. Because up until that point, I had been in the movie. And so it took me out, and I started thinking about how all these stories connect and how what story are they trying to tell. It's not an Avengers story. It's a Thanos one, and I came to that conclusion. But then I also started looking at more nitpicky details, like the CG. Like,
there was a lot of it in Titan, this movie.
Yeah, this whole movie was CG, and I feel like CG villains have been done poorly by everybody. You look at Doomsday, you look at Steppenwolf.
Yeah, I did not like the four
or
whatever.
Essentially, what you're saying is look at DC for bad CGI. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, you know, you got Doomsday Steppenwolf, but what about the Abomination from the Hulk? I know it's not MCU.
That was a long time ago, too.
Hulk, that movie
that was
is
like
MCU.
10 years ago. It is. It's the second one, isn't it?
That movie is MCU. I don't care what you guys, and by you guys, I mean internet, not specifically you two. I don't care what people say. That movie is MCU. Thaddeus Ross is in both of them.
And he's in this movie.
Iron Man is in that movie. That is MCU.
I'm okay with that.
I'll get off my soapbox for a second.
Okay,
you put in here bad CGI on Titan. What specifically is your? I understand your other point, but what was your big problem on Titan?
So on Titan, there were some scenes where Spider-Man was swinging around that was very much CG. I feel like the Iron Spider suit was. One of the reasons that it was shiny was not just because it's the Iron Spider suit, but because then, and I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it looked more plasticky and it looked like it was moving more 3D model-y. Spider-Man was pretty CG on there. Thanos had some scenes where he looked bad. Nick explained some color theory to me a little bit, saying, no, it wasn't the CG, it was the colors. But even then, that was a decision made by the artistic directors and the people who were doing the CG. So
I'm just going to tell you what I'm just going to tell everybody about the color. So he was commenting on how, like, when, like, on the ship in the very first scene, he looked really good, right? Like that very first scene with Loki, mm-hmm. like he looked really cool, and like his color was vibrant and beautiful and stuff. And then, like, for example, the one that everyone just tore apart on the trailer, where he looked like light purpley and stuff,
where he's walking out of the portal.
Yeah, where he's walking out of the portal, and everyone's like, "Ah, he looks terrible." It made sense to me because of actually color theory. So that planet that he's on is very yellow, and the sun is very yellow, and what yellow does to purple. Because
it turns it yellow.
It actually dulls the intensity of the color. So if you mix a color that's opposite on the other side of the color wheel, so, you know, the big circle, yellow is across from purple. And so if you have a color purple that is way too bright and you need to bring that intensity down on the color so it's not as vibrant, you mix yellow in with your purple. And that the exact same thing happens when you put light, a yellow light, onto a purple object. It dulls the intensity of it. And so, in my opinion, they did a great job of actually having what was true to it. And I bet it was just the computers, like, compensating for it, like a computer algorithm that said, yeah, we have this template and this is exactly what Thanos is supposed to be like. We're putting a lot of yellow sun on him. That's going to dull the intensity of his skin tone and make him look more muted.
But it wasn't just the intensity of the skin tone, though, that I was like, that's some bad CGI. There was a lot of Uncanny Valley-esque motion capture that was going on. Animation that looked like, well, it's so close, but there's just something wrong with it. I was never one of the ones to be like, oh, he doesn't look like Thanos there. Let me bring it back. He didn't look like Thanos there. But when I looked at it and I was like, well, you know what? It's fine. That's not big of a deal. I didn't care about the colors. Thanos could have been in a rubber bodysuit and I would have been okay with whatever colors.
Would you
came
have
out.
Though? Would you?
I would have. Though? I would have.
Be more Star Wars-y.
I guess we'll never know. The world will never know.
So, I mean, I would have completely been okay with some prosthetics on there. I don't think that, I mean, because here's the thing, if Marvel is going to put prosthetics on him, they're going to make him look good. And then you're not going to run into the uncanny valley of there's something wrong with the way his face looks. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something a little wrong. But that wasn't,
I never felt that. That's so funny. I'm going to have to watch it again and see if I can pinpoint it.
It goes back to the same thing with
Leia and Tarkin and
a third time.
Leia and Tarkin from Rogue One. Some people said I didn't notice it at all, and other people said, oh, that ruined the movie for me. And I was somewhere in the middle on it with them.
See, and I think that because he was alien, it just didn't bother me, because it's like, how do I know what his face is supposed to look like? Maybe that's just how his alien face looks like. Maybe that's,
yeah, that's what Josh Brolin would look like if he were an alien.
Yeah.
And it's possible. Things just moved. Things moved unnaturally. And I don't even think it was alien. I think it may have been like gravity. And maybe, okay, they talked about how gravity was way off kilter on that
planet. Thanos, yeah, and Titan.
On Titan.
Yeah.
But that doesn't excuse on when they went to Wakanda. The CG in that, in a few of the key spots, the CG was awesome in some of those battles, in that battle there. But when it was not a key spot and things started jumping all around, the CG got a little worse. And one of the things that that Bob McLeod said, the worst thing about working on a comic book is the deadlines. You want to put your best work on everything from the get-go, but if you have a deadline, you have to meet the deadline. And I feel like the visual effects artists had deadlines that they had to hit. Any time that Mark Banner. Ruffalo opened up the Hulk Buster suit and was there, it looked terrible. and
you guys are screwed now.
He only did it twice, but it's still like that. Okay, you didn't have to do it at all.
Yeah, I mean, they could have given him screen time in the Jarvis interface. It would not have been that big of a deal. I feel like Mark Ruffalo had a contract dispute, because there were some stories a few months ago about how little screen time he was actually getting. And
okay, as much as I am enjoying Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, that's what you get when you sign on for your alter ego to be a CGI character. I guess that's what you get for signing on to be a superhero nowadays, because let's just face it, it's all CGI.
Yeah,
and so Iron Man was really CG too. Like, I mean, even more so than before.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, you look at and Iron Man was another one of the ones that looked plastic. Yeah, you know,
I got bones to pick with Iron Man, but not the CGI. Oh, but continue. So finish.
Yeah,
your CGI.
I know you. But I was like, okay, you know what? It's the nanite technology. I'm not going to argue that, because that's the most like, well, it's supposed to look like that kind of a thing. But I wonder, so you look at the trailer, and the big trailer, they have that full frontal, their Avengers are rushing across the battlefield,
like,
and you've
with
got the
Wakanda
Hulk in there.
And stuff.
Yeah, in Wakanda, and the Hulk is running with them, where if it was a scene that they were actually going to be using, it should have been the Hulk Buster suit running in there with mm-hmm. them. And so that's part of what makes me wonder, did they change it because they ran into issues with the Hulk and Mark Ruffalo's contract? And they had to rewrite that part about the Hulk not wanting to come out. Was that part of it?
That'd be interesting to know.
I think I rather Ruffalo in the Hulkbuster suit, because I actually really like the idea of the Hulk could have not come out all these years, like the whole time Banner and the Hulk. The Hulk could have been like, you know, I'm not feeling it right now. You got your own battle to fight there, Banner.
Yeah, and I like that part of the story, but I just started thinking to myself, it might be a little bit put in after the fact, because why would they put it in the trailer? It's not like the Hulk not being there was a spoiler. You would have just thought that was Tony inside that armor.
That's true, but at the same time, it's like Hulk is cooler than Tony. And I just want to say, like, I love the fact, like, the way that I kind of took that whole thing was like, you know, Loki using the line that
we have a Hulk.
That was awesome.
And then Hulk comes out and he just gets his butt whooped. Like, I mean, Hulk was like, I'm winning. And then it was just like Thanos is like, crack, crack. And then just takes him out. I really like the idea of Hulk being like all like, well, I lost. I'm not coming out. Like, I'm pissed, you know, like, or I'm scared. Like, but
how did I lose? I never lose.
Yeah, Hulk's the strongest there is. What's going on? I mean, that's cool. And I hope that they kind of explore that at least in the next movie
and,
you know, or something.
I was talking with someone today and they were talking how in Hulk's recent life, he has been literally the best fighter. He has been literally on the top of every fight he's been on, because he was the Grandmaster's champion. And so now all of a sudden I lost. If he can beat me, the best there is, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be the Hulk.
Or,
Yeah, and I think that story is really interesting. I just feel like some of the Mark Ruffalo's CGI looked really bad.
He never should have taken the helmet off. That
there was no reason. Hey,
side note, why was the Hulkbuster armor even there?
That's true, because it's not like they were in contact with Tony.
Unless they specifically brought it with them.
Like Pepper have access, maybe. And she was like, maybe. Tony left, here, take it.
The only thing I can think of is if when they went to Wakanda to get help with Vision, they brought it with them because Banner was having issues. Maybe. Maybe there'll be a deleted scene. I don't know. I'll report when I buy the DVD inevitably. But it just seems, I'm buying that. The day it comes out, my first stop after work is to whatever local store I want to stop at. But it's still, I never thought of it. Why was the Hulkbuster armor even there? Tony was in space.
Well, Avengers have access.
Oh yeah, Tony. I'm sure War Machine was just like, you need a suit. You need a suit, Banner, and you're used to fighting big. Boop, boop, boop. Hulkbuster's on its way.
Yeah.
Or maybe like three or four suits crashed into the vibranium shield, and like finally they opened it up, and Hulkbuster was all that was left.
Oh jeez. That's funny.
Maybe Shuri was like, well, why don't you guys just use the Hulkbuster?
I love it.
Oh, because Tony's got it protected. Well, no, he doesn't. I can just do this, this, and this.
I love that they established that she is smarter than even Bruce and Tony. Like, they just were like, in 5 seconds, just like, oh, and I mean, it's obvious if you watch Black Panther, but like in this movie, they were just like, yep, she's the best. Like, she's the Reed Richards now. Sorry, guys. Like, it's pretty awesome.
That was pretty good.
I loved that part. And so, Lena has not seen Black Panther, and she turned to me at that part and she was like, is this going to ruin Black Panther for me? And I was like, I really don't think so, because I don't think they're going to get into much.
Yeah.
And then after we were walking away, I was like, the only thing it's really going to ruin is that Black Panther wins at the end. So if you had any doubt that he was going to win, wasn't going to win, then
And that M'Baku is their friend, becomes their friend.
Yeah. Infinity War trailers were released before.
That couldn't mean anything. Like, she might not be paying attention, right? Like,
right.
Oh, and knowing Lena, she probably won't be paying attention. Sorry, Lena.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But I am.
So my bone to pick with Iron Man. I hated his armor. The nanotech thing, well, with this fight with Thanos was cool when he was like running out and it like shifting around his body to where he needed it at times. That was kind of cool, but you can't give him magic armor. I'm sorry. He hasn't met the dwarfs yet. He hasn't had magic armor. That's not how it works.
Well, think about Thor of the Dark World. When Jane Foster walks up, you know, and she's like, oh, this device cures cancer by doing this, 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 and this. And somebody's like, no, it's Asgardian magic. And she's like, no, it's science.
Okay, that's fine. But it still just bugged me that, these movies have been getting cooler and cooler with how Iron Man's suiting up. First, the awesome sequence of him stepping into this big machine that was built specifically for that, and then the briefcase suit.
Yeah.
And in Iron Man 3, he can literally just jump in and out of them as needed.
So does he put his finger in his airplane?
That's Civil War. Yeah, and it's just everywhere. Just I love the different ways they're suiting him up. I just felt the nanotech suit was lazy. Personally, it seemed like they wanted just. I don't know. I didn't care for it.
I liked that it could morph into stuff and that like he was using it as a shield, like, and I liked that he like created an anchor and then cut open the thing. Like I thought it was fine. And I loved how like the pieces came off and then he shot like all five of them. Like that was his unibeam instead of all coming through the central, like the pieces came off the back. I don't know, I liked it.
I enjoyed the nanotech as well. Basically, because it is what we've been missing in sci-fi for a long time is sci-fi that is aspirational. Something that is like, that's really cool. How could we ever get to that? Because a lot of the sci-fi that we have now is like, okay, there's this research that has been done on these kind of propulsion engines. So we're going to make a ship that's all about propulsion. And we're, you know, using this drive, and we're gonna use real hard science to do that. And this is a bit of fantasy science, kind of like the original Star Trek TV series was. And it's something that, yes, there is enough science grounded in it that you can be like, huh, could we ever do that? But it's nothing like, hey, this is going on in a research lab right now. And so I enjoyed that aspect of the, what could we do? How would nanotech actually change how things like this
would
work?
Like Wakanda shield phalanx maneuvers, like in modern day. It was like
exactly
old timey, like, yeah, that was pretty cool in my opinion. Like creating
science
shield technology,
and technology that just that you can kind of explain, but not actually explain. And I'm not talking Star Wars where, you know, lightsabers and midichlorians and stuff like that, because that's not science. That's straight up fantasy. it's fantasy in space.
Space wizards.
But the Iron Man nanotech suit, that was fantasy science.
I get it, though, Jeff. And, I mean, I understand why you're I get it.
So
it was a step too far.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it was a step a little too far because there's no other examples of, hey, here's how nanotech is working in the world, and Tony Stark took that and turned it on its head.
Well, pretty much our introduction to it was, yeah, it's nanotech. Pretty cool, huh? And it's like, okay. Like, hey, you got a new suit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
The only one of Thanos' children that I really liked was the one that fought Tony. Like, I thought he had the most substance. All the others were just like
the
Hulk smash.
The one with the axe or the...
No, the one...
Oh, you mean Squidward?
Yeah, Squidward.
Yeah, Squidward, not Black Dwarf.
Okay.
Yeah, like that guy, like he...
Well, he's the only one that got like...
Lines. the girl did like the... I don't know what to call her, like the demon girl.
Perma Midnight, I believe is her name.
Oh, yeah. I did like the scene where it was like, you will die alone, and she's not alone, and then it was like all of the women were just like fighting.
See, that felt forced to me.
Oh,
that felt
okay
so
it.
Forced.
So, I was okay
that
with
was cool.
That.
That was cool. That made me think of something. But it felt forced.
That made me think of something. Why is it that in a lot of TV and movies, that if there is a female villain, they somehow introduce a female hero? I mean, this one didn't all of a sudden introduce one, but... Why is it that we still have to feel like we have to have only women fight women?
I don't feel like it was that way all the time. I just think it's cool when they fight each other. Like mano a mano.
But I mean, maybe it's just because I've seen it a couple times. I think it happens a lot, but it feels like the only time if a woman's going to be in the battle, she has to be fighting another woman.
So you know what? It's a trope that's overused. You're right. And it would have been just as cool, if not cooler, if the Black Dwarf, the guy with the big hammer axe thing, was yelling. You know, he didn't really speak, but if he had spoken, he's like, "You're going to die alone," or something like that, and then have Black Widow say, "No, she's not alone," and then all of them fighting that. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been cool, and I think I would have been more okay with that instead of a, "Hey, let's have a scene that's all about women." I felt like that scene was Marvel saying, oh crap, this movie needs to pass the Bechdel test. Because as far as I can remember, and I hope somebody can prove me wrong, that is the only scene where a woman is talking to another woman without talking about a man. In the entire movie, the only scene.
I don't pay attention to that stuff. So
I don't either. It was because it was the second viewing that I tried to pay attention, because the first one I'm like, this scene feels forced. This scene feels like
I'm okay
editorial
with it being
came
forced,
in and
though.
Said,
because that's like something that I want to see. Like, I'm okay with that being forced. That's what comics are about. Forcing
no.
the fight between the
that.
People
that
want to
see
it.
I just want I want it to be written a little bit less cheesy.
Why wasn't it like, why would that be forced? It's like, hey, I want to go save my friend.
No, you know, not the, hey, I want to go save my friend, but the, hey, let's stop her and say she's not alone and have him turn around. And then there were other moments like that, too, where it's like, we have to introduce Captain America, so let's take this scene where these villains could have killed these people and taken the stone because the train's rushing by.
But that's
and let's
comics,
have them stop
dude.
And watch
like,
a train rushing
that's like
by.
That's literally like what happens in comic books. Like, I thought, I mean, as I was watching it, I was watching the pages unfold. Like, you have the pause, you have the silhouette. You have the face coming up, coming out of the shadows, I mean, these are all cells, right? And then it's like, oh, hey, Cap. Or I don't remember what he says. He's like, blah, blah, blah.
They throw the spear at him and he catches it.
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah. Like that to me seems like I was watching like a full page of comic like fall out onto the screen. But it was
they don't
just...
they don't take a scene that's having a ton of action and then stop everything in the comics.
Well, they do that all the time.
No, because in a comic, nothing's moving. Like, they're being drawn as moving, but nothing is moving. And so if they don't just completely like, oh, I'm holding the knife to your throat and then, oh, let me just
stop.
I can turn and watch a train go by.
That seems like it happens all the time where it's like, I'm going to kill you. And then somebody shows up and they are like, they hesitate because who is this person? I want to know who they are. Then they reveal themselves and they start fighting again. That seems like it happens all the time to me.
I don't know. I just felt like there were a lot of forced moments where it would have been cooler if, you know,
would you have rather had him just like kick them and then all of a sudden there's Cap and
have him break through the wall right next to him. I would have been okay with that.
Or like him, and like
that's how the villains were introduced. Yeah. Just
so like,
and we're here now. You know,
let's go back to the villains. Let's go back to the women's scene for just a minute. So she's there, you're going to die alone, so Black Widow thinks that it's good enough to just make a quip, one-liner quip there while the villain's just about to kill her friend. No, in the real world she would jump on her back and, you know, take out her leg or something and make the quip as she was doing it. In the real,
Black Widow to me kind of felt like she didn't want to be there. I mean, like Scarlett Johansson, I don't know why, like a part of her performance was just like, yep, and I am also here. So, I don't know. I didn't care for Black Widow in this movie, but maybe just because there was a lot of people in this movie.
I was just really sad they didn't let her have her stingers. Like, I mean, she's just now the ninja. Like, I mean, at least let her have her, like, bracelet things and show them off.
Yeah, like, they had them in Civil War, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, like, at least, like, I mean, that's her kind of token thing. Like, let her have it. It's like, I don't know. Like, that's the only thing that bothered me about her. And I don't know why she has blonde hair, but fine.
Because she's in hiding. That's the only excuse.
I guess that makes sense. But
so
okay.
Because if you think about it, she disappeared before the true finalization of the Avengers breaking up from Civil War. She disappeared before they went to Moscow. So I don't know.
So Brandon, the whole forced thing, did you feel like Vision and Scarlet Witch's relationship was forced?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I didn't feel that way at all. I thought that was awesome.
I felt that was good. I felt like, oh, I wish they could have gone more. I mean, they followed the trope of the robot is more human than the humans, but I was okay with it. I liked everything with Vision in it.
Do you think that he's gone?
It's comic books, so
this
no.
This is my theory, I'm just going to say. I think that Suri downloaded all of his consciousness while she was, like when she... And maybe...
A backup in case she messed up.
And so, like, she's just going to be able to upload his consciousness. Because they established in the show that he can exist without the Mind Stone. And they were like, the best parts of you are not in that, so let's take it off. And, like, it really kind of hit home to me even more the second time. The first time I was like, oh, I bet this is it. And so I kind of was watching it for the second time. But I think part of me wonders
if they're going to have the Wakandans fix the Vision body, but his mind will not have the memories of his love that he had for...
That's totally a Vision story, too. So, like, that'd be cool.
Yeah, basically rebooting him. And so I mean, I could see them doing that.
Or having holes in just that part. Like, he remembers everything leading up to that, but except their relationship.
Yeah. And, or, you know, having amnesia of robot. They'd also be able to play with the trope of what is humanity really? And are we more than just a sum of our memories? Or, you know, the fact that, okay, is it really the same Vision if he doesn't remember everything, if he doesn't remember the Avengers, if he doesn't remember his relationship with Wanda, is he the same person or is it like Groot? where, you know, they took a trimming from the old Groot and they grew it and it turned into a new Groot. And this is a different Groot.
Yeah. I do have to say that the only time, I got misty-eyed a lot in this movie, but the only time I legitimately had tears and cried was when Groot cut his arm off. Like, I don't know what it was about that, like him giving the hilt and like growing up at that time. I was just like, oh my gosh. I don't know. It just hit home. Maybe it's just because I'm a new dad and like I've got a little buddy and he loves Groot. But when Groot, like, he's like, I need to find the handle. And Groot goes up and he's like, I'm going to actually do something instead of just sit here and play video games. I don't know. That just made me bawl. I was bawling. I was like, oh, Groot, you're growing up.
Half the universe gets wiped out and you don't even get misty eyed.
No,
Groot cuts his arm off, but
here's the thing.
Groot cuts, like, cuts off a limb that we all know will grow.
I don't know. He essentially trimmed his fingernails for
it
that.
It was basically, it wasn't the fact that he'd lost a limb. It was that, like, up to that point, he was just
he put down the video game and he helped.
And he realized the gravitas of the situation and was like, I'm going to grow up. Like, it was like his coming of age moment for me. And I was very proud of him as a father looking down at this beautiful little, I don't know. It was so weird to me. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I love you, Groot. I was prepared for half of them dying. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, I've read Infinity Gauntlet, so it's not like I didn't expect. I was sad. Like, what was sad was like, oh, why him? No. You know, like, that's what was, you know, heart-wrenching, but like I was prepared for people to be gone. So
the one scene where I got misty-eyed, I didn't really tear up over anything, but the one I got misty-eyed was the very beginning with the whole Thor and Loki thing how Loki just kept trying, and he tried to turn a new leaf and he just wasn't enough, and when he died, that the relationship between Thor and Loki as brothers kind of hit me. And that's as being a brother. I've got an older brother that I get along with a lot of times and I don't get along with a lot of times. And I've got two sons who they get along a lot of times and they don't get along a lot of times. I mean, it just, when you have that personal connection to it, it does make it a little bit more emotional. And I wouldn't blame anybody else for not caring as much about those scenes because they didn't have that personal connection.
No, I get it. There were so many of those types of moments in this, though. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, somebody who was in an abusive relationship with their father would feel more like gravitas towards the Thanos and Gamora scene. And maybe like somebody who's in a relationship where somebody has to, like, is dying would really be like have a hard time watching the Vision and Scarlet Witch scene, or even like Pepper and Iron Man, like he has to leave
newly
to go to war
couple.
Like, and she's like, don't go, Tony, and he's like, I'm sorry, I have to do. Like, there are so many of those moments in this movie that it just like pulls from everyone's heartstrings. And I mean, you can take moments throughout the whole thing. I mean, Gamora and Star-Lord's quote-unquote booty call love that he doesn't want to say but he does, and they really do love each other. And I don't know, there's so much.
I think you may have just figured out for me what I didn't like about this movie. This movie was not a coherent story as much as it was a series of moments.
And the coherent story was just Thanos.
Thanos' story was the coherent part, which could have been told in about 30 minutes. And the rest of it was moments.
Which, you know what? I think that's why I loved it. In my opinion, like, it was because it felt like a comic book to me, in the fact that it was a story about one person on their journey, and then everything else that was going on around were results or things that happened because this person had made that decision. And so instead of trying to look at it as an Avengers movie and trying to put those pieces together, all of those pieces are just like frosting for the one main story that is Thanos.
But then the studio told them that they couldn't call the movie Thanos
because no one would go see it.
And that's part of what I didn't like about this, was I felt like there were a lot of decisions made to make to make people go see the movie and designed by committee, where Marvel has been so good at letting their directors tell the story they want, the way they want, with the title they want. Taika Waititi completely changed Thor and they let him do it. Ryan Coogler
flushed him right down the toilet.
I mean,
I had to get a Ragnarok jab when it was.
I still don't watch that again. I need to watch it again.
So with Black Panther, they told the story with Ryan Coogler. With James Gunn, he got to tell his Guardians of the Galaxy.
But I think that he got to tell the story, though. I mean, it is called Infinity War, and that is the story of Thanos.
It's called Avengers Infinity War.
Well, I get that, but who calls it that?
Avengers Saga Infinity War Part 1A.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a Twilight joke, but I'm tired.
What about the groups meeting up together? What did you guys think about that?
I liked that none of it felt like forced. Like the closest thing to force, in my opinion, was Banner just happened to land at the Sanctum, which caused Doctor Strange to say, "Let's go." Okay, you're friends with Tony. Let's go grab Tony.
See, and the way I interpreted that was that
Heimdall sent him there.
Heimdall sent him there because he said he was talking about dark magic and let the dark magic flow through me one more time. So it went to the magic place. Like it went where magic would be.
I buy that.
So like that was my thought. So,
and I'm probably going to regret saying this, but when the Guardians met up with Doctor Strange and Iron Man, that meeting kind of justified, I'm going to have to go brush my teeth after I say this, the Doctor Strange scene in Ragnarok. Because that meant the Guardians all knew Thor and the Avengers all knew Thor. I guess, well, Iron Man and Doctor Strange. The adults knew Thor and the Guardians knew Thor. So them saying, "You're Thor's friend," really kind of it justified it. And I have to go drink or something.
That's funny.
It's still the stupidest part in Ragnarok. I don't care what you guys say. I don't care what I just said. Pointless.
I love that this movie was kind of a like coming out party for Doctor Strange, because I mean he was cool in his movie
just in time for him to die.
No, not that. Like I just felt like you actually got to see how incredibly like powerful and cool he is. Like when he was fighting Thanos,
I'm a little annoyed.
Like I loved all the magic he was doing and like I don't know. Like that's who.
When did he actually get the eye? Like when we last saw Doctor Strange. Or in his movie, he wasn't supposed to wear the eye. He wasn't supposed to be walking around with the eye of Agamotto. Then in the post-credit scene, he's wearing it, I think. Was he? Anyway, but he was definitely wearing it in Ragnarok.
I think it was because he wasn't the Sorcerer Supreme yet. And that's why he wasn't supposed to have it.
But
then when he
became it, how much time passed between...
At the end of the movie, he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme, and then he can have it.
No, he doesn't. They make a point of saying,
"You're not it.
Yeah. You'll wear it someday. Put it back."
I just think that it's when he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah. When did he do that? That
probably
seems like an
important
thing to show us.
Between that and Thor Ragnarok.
That sounds like something important to show us.
Well, aside from the fact that maybe, you know, the Doctor Strange timeline, we talked about how we think it happened around the time of Iron Man 2. And so he had years to do it.
What's the backing on this?
Well, mainly
because
they talk about
the Hammertech suits.
Yeah, the Hammertech suits that say Doctor Strange.
The Air Force
pilot.
That's
right. Continue. Yeah.
So,
all right, I accept your terms.
So,
continue.
So I think it was about that time period, and so he had plenty of time in between the Dormammu incident and Infinity War. And the gray looked more prominent on him now on the sides.
I loved that too.
And I think it's just them saying, "Look, you all know that he's the Sorcerer Supreme." Maybe that's what they cover in Doctor Strange 2. And maybe
there's not going to be a Doctor Strange 2. He's dead.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that because I've got a theory, and I prepped.
I know
you both on
you
that.
Really
theory.
You really want to talk about this one.
Awesome. I do.
No, I do. I think we should.
I prepped you both on the theory because I wanted you guys to be able to poke holes in what my theory is. Let me explain what my theory is, and then you can tell me how I'm wrong. But this was another thing. the Russo brothers or the MCU or somebody was messing with fans. They wanted everybody to leave that theater just in tears because their favorite hero was killed, because their favorite hero is one of the new heroes. And so Thanos wins, he snaps his finger, and everyone starts melting away, and everyone just assumes they're dead. My theory is that the next Avengers movie, is the reason they can't tell us the title of it for spoiling it, is Avengers Secret Wars. And rather than killing off half of the universe, the Infinity Stones transported those people to Battle World for, like they did in Secret Wars, and they and we have a precedent of this Infinity Stones not killing somebody but transporting them with Red Skull. Red Skull was transported by holding
time out. Favorite reveal of the movie.
That was
Red
a good
Skull
reveal.
Being on the planet.
That was the really second time reveal. I was like, that's totally his voice. I do have to say one thing about that.
I brought that up tonight. That's someone told me that's not Hugo Weaving. That's just
totally
someone doing a good job.
Like,
and I don't agree with that. Like, I'm convinced
once
it is. I am on IMDb.
Yeah, like once he started talking and I knew that it was him initially, I was like, oh, that's totally Red Skull's voice. Like, I was, you know,
I feel,
that was cool.
I feel weird saying this because I don't want to sound like that guy who's like, oh, I knew it was Red Skull. But it sounded immediately to me it was Hugo Weaving. And my first thought was, why would they hire him twice?
That's interesting.
Not even thinking, oh, this is where Red Skull ended up. I honestly thought, why would they have hired the Red Skull twice? Oh, did you look at that? Oh, my gosh. Okay. It wasn't. It was not Hugo Weaving.
Cool.
It was Ross Marquand.
Oh, wow.
It was.
Oh, well, that makes sense because Ross Marquand can do anybody's voice.
It was my new best friend, Ross
Marquand.
That's
awesome. Yeah. Let me just say one thing. When that Wraith was sitting there, I was convinced. Like, I was like, okay. I wasn't convinced, but I was like, what if that is Stan Lee? Like, and they actually bring Uatu into it at this moment. But it's just a watcher, and it's like Stan Lee for a second, and then he turns into a watcher, and then he's like, okay, like that's where I thought they were going. That was like my thought. I was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna like this is gonna be like Stan Lee's moment. Like he already had his cameo, but like I was like, this is gonna be a watcher. Like that's what I thought because they already had kind of established that. But I like this better.
Okay, so Red Skull would be kind of dumb to bring up into that. They could have had any random person, character, anything. No, they bring back Red Skull because they want to let us know that the Infinity War or Infinity Stones transport people. Also, if you look outside of the continuity, outside of the storytelling aspect of it, the Disney and Fox deal.
So if you want to ruin it for yourself, sorry.
Well, this is just other things. So the Disney and Fox deal, that wraps up a few months before the next Avengers movie comes out. They were trying to wrap it up even further before then. The Russo brothers also told a French magazine that they would really like to do Secret Wars next, once all the rights got back to Marvel. And then, according to the people who had the transcript, they basically paused and backed themselves up a little bit and said, oh, but nobody's asked us to do anything. That's not what's going on. We don't even know what's going on.
And Benedict Cumberbatch isn't Khan.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Disney Fox deal, the bringing in Secret Wars would be a great way to bring in the mutants. Another
and the
thing
Fantastic
is,
Four, for that matter.
And the Fantastic Four, they quote unquote killed Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man had a big Secret Wars storyline. On top of that, Spider-Man, not just Spider-Man, but Tom Holland has two more movies in the MCU. Two more movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I'm sorry, he's not dead. They're not doing the
flashback. We know that. It's just whether or not it's like the way they do it actually in Infinity Gauntlet, if they want to go a different route.
This is my thing. If Thanos can wipe out half the universe with a snap of his fingers, guess what he can do? He can bring them back.
Except the gauntlet has been destroyed.
So
the stones.
They can build another gauntlet.
So yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Like,
the stones are still fine.
The gauntlet.
If the stones were destroyed, he would not have been able to escape.
They weren't destroyed. They were, but they did look cracked. I bet you they're going to say they're not as powerful as they were anymore. They also
bring back the superheroes.
And there's a mold. There's a mold to make another gauntlet. Like,
yeah, there is a mold. You're right. There is a mold to make another gauntlet. They could say, oh, but this one I do need my hands to do the detailed, intricate work on it because this one's more difficult than melting metal and putting it into an axe.
It becomes more of a.
I thought you wanted us to convince you to like this movie. Stop poking holes in our theory.
Well, no, I think they're going to have to go. Like, the next movie is going to be like, okay, we've now got to reverse time. Like, we've now got to do exactly what he did to get the Mind Stone and go back and stop him.
So Doctor Strange saves the Marvel Universe?
Well, okay, here. No, this is a precedent. This is a big. Yeah, there's already precedent for that. So
it's time travel.
I mean,
comics,
like,
yeah.
Set photos have been released.
Oh, interesting.
Potentially, but like, not released, but found potentially proving your theory right. But
I'm pretty sure that Doctor Strange is a very key component to this whole thing because of his whole scene with Tony. He hates Tony. He hates him, and then all of a sudden, Tony's going to die. And what does he do? He
gives up the stone.
Immediately
and says,
"Sorry,
this is the only way."
Yeah, but he only does that after he's seen 14 million ways that we lost, and only one way that we won. And so he, for some reason, sees that Tony's going to die, and Tony is the catalyst. Okay, Tony is going to be probably the Adam Warlock of this. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what, like, how they're going to be able to incorporate that in. They're going to have to get really weird, but they're going to end it how they started it, right? It makes sense for them to go full circle and that Robert Downey Jr. is going to, you know, go out with a big bang. And there was just a few hints of it while they were doing it. Like, Thanos turns to Tony and says, "I hope they remember you." He's like, "I know what it's like to be burdened with knowledge." Now, that could mean anything. That could mean that Tony's just smart, but it could also mean that he is chosen in some way and that the Watchers have chosen him and Thanos to be the yin and yang or blah, 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 and whatever. Like, I mean, there could be so many weird stuff going on there that, like, my mind just started spinning, like, every single time that, like, they were talking together. And like, the second time I watched it, like, the last thing that he says to him is, "There's no other way, Tony." And everyone dies around Tony. There's not one person that stays with Tony. Like, every single one of the people that were hanging out with him are gone. And I was like, okay, now, like, Tony's on this, you know, hero
on this planet all by himself.
Like, hero mission now. You know?
No, Nebula's there.
That's true. You are right. And
he has to have somebody who can fly a spaceship to get him home.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I watched it, I forgot Nebula was there. So the second time I was like, oh, that's right, because he's out of nanites.
Well, he's repairing them, but he can't repair them fast enough.
I know, but.
But, like, that was just apparent to me. Like, when I was watching this, I was just like, yeah, Tony is going to be what's going to happen at the end. And maybe Tony's the one that goes and helps the dwarves, you know, make. I mean,
I can't remember. Does Bruce die?
Well, hold on. Banner's still alive, yes.
Yeah, he's
isn't
and Rocket.
Don't the dwarfs build Iron Man a suit out of the Uru metal or whatever it is?
On board with that. Like, that makes so much sense.
At the very least, there is an Avengers Infinity War. Or not Avengers. That's what we're talking about. Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, where that's the storyline there. I'm sure it's in the comics as well.
At some point.
So here's the thing. What they're going to do, they're going to use Tony and Bruce and probably Shuri to figure out, oh, these people weren't actually killed. They were transported. The Rocket's going to say, Tony's going to say, "I'm going to need a better suit of armor for this." And Rocket's going to say, I know a guy.
And Rocket was there.
Okay.
Because Rocket helped Thor do it. And Thor's still around too, though.
Was Thor around?
Yeah, he's still there. Rocket and Thor. Thor. Oh, I loved Thor's costume once he got Storm. Oh my gosh, the lightning! Oh,
he got Storm.
Yeah,
that was another scene where the CG just didn't.
No,
work
I loved
perfect.
It. Oh, you guys are screwed now. And then he's like lightning all crazy.
His entry scene was awesome. Like I said, the key moments worked great and looked great.
Continue on with your theory.
But the big fight. Anyway, so the science guys are like, there's transportation. I'm going to need a better armor. And Rocket's going to say, I know a guy. And Thor's going to say, let's go. Or, sorry, let's go.
You know, I prefer the idea that Nebula and Tony come across it on their own. And that, because it seems kind of weird to have Thor have to take
okay. But there is precedence for like Thor, like being able to open the Bifrost and just be like, okay, we're all together now. But
he can do the Bifrost now. Never mind. Yeah.
It would be kind of cool to have two different stories going on. Like, I mean,
I'm done with the two different stories. I just want a good, I just want one story. Quit splitting the party.
No, it's just, okay
just
to
give
have
one
it.
Good story.
It's okay to have it. Makes it more interesting. And then they all come together in the end, and they defeat together. I like that. And then all the pieces of the puzzle come together.
All right, so...
I like timey-wimey, okay?
So instead of proving my theory wrong, we just merged our theories? Is that what we did?
I really do think that, like, I mean, I believe that it'll probably... Like, Secret War will probably be, like, further down. Like, I don't think that it's going to be bringing
into
there's
another
into
part
this,
of your
like,
theory...
I think that it'll...
There's another part of your theory we forgot to mention.
What did I forget?
In Secret Wars, Spider-Man gets his black suit. So he's off doing Secret War stuff. They come back to Earth, bringing the black suit symbiote with them. Then at some point he gets rid of it, giving it to the company that gave it to... So that will end up giving it to Eddie Brock and Venom, letting Spider-Man go into the Sony universe when he's done.
I might be thinking of a different comic. Remind me of the story of Secret War, then. Like, just give me a quick, like, rundown.
Isn't a whole bunch of superheroes are transported to a world to have a fight?
So it has nothing to do with, like, the Skrulls and stuff? Like, there's people that come in? Because that's what I thought it was.
No, that's Secret Invasion.
Oh, you're right. I was totally... Because I was thinking that you were going to do like Secret Invasion, where it's like because Miss Marvel is a Kree, they're going to bring Miss Marvel in, and there's actually going to be the Skrull Kree War going on, and like half the people are Skrulls, and those are the people that died, and then the other people are actually transported to Battle World, and so they're still alive. And I was like, I don't really think that they're going to do that. Like, that just seems like a lot of people would be really, really
that was
weird.
A little bit too
so
far
like I
was, for me.
That's what I thought you were doing because that's what I remembered Secret War was, but I was thinking Secret Invasion. Yeah, there's too many secrets.
So, and too many wars.
But like I could totally see. I mean, they're bringing Miss Marvel in. So, what do you guys think of that? Or Captain Marvel? Like,
she's been promoted.
She's no longer a Miss. I mean, it's obvious that that thing is a pager at the end, right? And it's just a souped-up pager, so they're like...
It's a souped-up pager. Souped-up by alien.
So either he's had that since the 90s, or she's going to be called from that time period. I don't know. There's so many possibilities.
I like that he's had it since then.
Yeah, but that's my...
I prefer that he's had it.
And then we'll finally get more Kree
tech. If that's
some
sort of time-traveling pager... That's a time-traveling pager. I'm going to be pissed.
Like, there's so many.
Not like stop watching movie pissed, but it's still like...
That's too easy.
Time-traveling pager.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Okay, so how does the next movies in line go? So next is Ant-Man and the Wasp. And it was established very early on that they took a deal and they don't fight anymore. As well as Clint.
They chose house arrest over.
As well as
because Clint. It was too hard on their families.
No yeah, so both of them.
Which I find it interesting that Clint never showed up as well.
Because of what was said when everyone was like, where's Hawkeye?
There's an Ant-Man and a Spider-Man?
I loved that too.
So Luke Cage season 2 happens on June 22nd.
That doesn't count.
I wonder how the Netflix universe is going to handle this.
Netflix doesn't count.
So July 6th is Ant-Man and the Wasp. October 5th is Venom.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
So there are conflicting reports, though, as whether it ties to Homecoming.
They say that Tom Holland has a cameo in it. There are reports of that.
So isn't it like if you ask Sony, it could be in there, but if you ask Marvel, there's no way in.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that goes. March 8th, 2019 is Captain Marvel, and it's going to take place in the 90s and feature the Skrulls as villains.
Yeah, see.
And bring back Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury and Agent Coulson back
on
the screen.
And Phil Coulson.
And Phil.
And Lee Pace as Ronan the Accuser.
And the other guy as the... who? I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. The big,
and then
he's a cool guy.
And then on May 3rd, we have Avengers 4,
which was
originally known as Infinity War Part 2.
So May next year, so basically 1 year from now is when we will be... So they're just pulling a Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or whatever.
This is a Deathly Hallows Part 2 situation coming up. Except they said it's not going to tie directly to the same storyline. So Thanos may not be the bad guy.
Thanos is retired.
He's done. He's just hanging out by
his... He sat down and watched the sunset.
Dude, that scene was so like... So what planet do you think he's on?
It doesn't matter.
Because like one person told me, oh, he went back to Gamora's planet. I was like, why would he go... Okay, I get why he'd go back. But I thought he went back to Titan and made it pretty again with the reality stone. Or I guess he can't do that anymore because it's broken. Maybe he did go back to Gamora's planet.
I could see Gamora's planet. But at the same time, I think it doesn't
matter.
No,
it doesn't. But at the same time, it's just kind of fun.
He went to a beach in New Zealand is what he did. That's what it looks like to me.
Oh,
he wasn't on a beach.
He was like in a hut on the side of a mossy mountain. Like a grassy mountain.
There was a river down at the bottom of the cliff, which means there was a beach there.
Yeah, his face, he was just like, I did it. And you're like, dude, you achieved your goal. That's the hero's journey. Good job.
All right.
So him and Zemo are the only villains that win, right? Everyone else technically loses. I was going to say Thanos is the only one that wins, but no, Zemo broke up the Avengers, so. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I would probably. I mean, Thanos is the only one who, like... Yeah, they're broken up, but they still work together, obviously.
True, but it would have been a bit simpler had, you know, when Banner showed up again, Bruce or Tony would have been able to be like, all right, Avengers assemble.
And we still haven't got that. But... Nobody said that yet.
Nope.
Jerks.
I heard several people who said that they really wanted... the pager to say Avengers Assemble on it. But
oh yeah, the kid next to us last night, he was just going, calling all Avengers, calling all Avengers, calling it, say it, call all Avengers. I was really hoping. I wanted more than anything else in that moment for when the so Captain fun. Marvel symbol showed up for him just go, what the heck is that? I wanted that more than anything, but he jumped in his seat. I guess I'm happy he was
a little bit more comic book educated
to know what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, I really wanted what the
dude, that happens a lot in our first showing though. Like people were like, what? Like there was a lot more emotions.
Yeah. That first showing was our, when I rent the theater we rented. And so it was all friends and family. So I just yelled, who needs that explained? Anyone, and a couple friends were like, and my parents,
over.
Me.
And then in the second one we went to, like, you know, the credits started rolling and people started getting up to leave. And I just yelled, don't leave. Like, you're being dumb.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to give those people benefit because maybe they'd already seen it and they know there wasn't a mid.
And maybe they
scene.
Just want to go to the bathroom.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
And the bathrooms were right outside of that theater. So they ran to the bathroom and then they came back.
I know, but I was just like, dude, come on, don't end on that. That's more sad. At least there's some hope at the end of the after credit scene.
So the after credit scene, my biggest problem with that is unless Maria Hill, because she's not official anymore, her intel's coming in slow. It feels like the battle lasted longer than it took from, hey, there's bogeys over Wakanda, to people disappearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I chalked it up to her intel was slow.
Yeah, I mean, if the Russo brothers came out and said, she's not official, she can't, she doesn't have real time. Yeah. Perfect.
She's getting secondhand information from somebody who just decided that maybe give you the information because you can.
Oh, I'm
I'm sure it's
Coulson who is already probably not getting it firsthand. I need to catch up on Agents.
Apparently, a lot of people have said that we really need to.
That's what I was going to do.
Because
today.
There's Avengers calls and outs in it, like single lines, and people are freaking out because they're like, "Yeah, what about the incident?
Oh my gosh!
All right, I have a continuity question, and I want to throw this one out to the fans. So in Thor Ragnarok, they tried to solve the continuity error of the Infinity Gauntlet being in the vault.
First Thor.
What?
From the first Thor. It's a blink and you'll miss it cameo. It's a blink and you'll miss it Easter egg of the Infinity Gauntlet full of
like
stones.
Out yeah. in there.
With all the Jones.
And so they tried to make it fix the continuity by Hela looking at it and be like, well, that's fake, and just walking by.
Fake.
Most
of the stuff in here is fake.
But why would they have a fake Infinity Gauntlet if Thor had no idea that they forged the gauntlet in the first place?
See, this is my thought. I think that gauntlet was just a like template to hold something powerful, and then it was just adapted. So like maybe that gauntlet was not meant to hold the Infinity Stones. It was just one that was like, hey, this is some armor that you can wear or something. But, you know, I mean, I could see it that way because they have the molds. Like, there's more than one Stormbringer, right? Breaker, sorry. There's more than one Stormbreaker because Beta Ray
so
Bill has.
Does that
one.
Imply Beta Ray Bill
yeah,
is
already. He's
already
he, well,
but I mean, well, the story I know, the story I heard about Beta Ray Bill came from that Avengers Assemble cartoon. Thor comes across the ship full of Beta Ray's people, and in their fight, Beta Ray Bill picks up Mjolnir. At the moment, Odin's like, all right, Thor, come back, I need to talk to you, and he summons the wielder of Mjolnir, and that's when Stormbreaker shows up in Asgard and like, what the heck's going on, and he starts smashing with Thor's hammer, and so they make him his own. But does this imply that Beta Ray Bill already has Stormbreaker?
Well, he's in the MCU. I mean, we've seen his head on the side of the Champions Tower in Thor Ragnarok, so we know that he's around.
At least somebody from his race.
We've seen his people.
No,
we've seen his and also James Gunn. James Gunn has said that in the opening scene of Guardians, when Chris Pratt's dancing around, the skeletons are Beta Ray Bill's people.
Oh, that makes me sad.
You know what? All y'all look alike.
It's true.
All y'all horse people
all
look alike.
All you horse as guardians all look alike.
Yes. Yes. All right. So I want to know. So we did the lunch question, but now I honestly want to know, what are your crazy theories for why that gauntlet even existed and Thor didn't know where it came from and all that fun stuff?
Thor doesn't realize what half the stuff is. He's just.
Okay. Well, let's let the fans tell us that. Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up then with a thumbs up / thumbs down. Nick, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Jeff.
If you are a fan of the MCU, thumbs up. If this is your first MCU, no, thumbs down.
This is a bad pilot.
Yeah, this is a bad pilot.
That's a callback too. I like that.
All right. I'm going to say thumbs up. I'm glad that I saw it. My kids asked me
your
when
options are thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. I'm glad I saw it. My kids said, Dad, when are you going to take us to see Avengers? And I'm thinking, maybe that's a grandpa thing. Maybe grandpa needs to go take him to go see Avengers.
You don't want to be there when your kids see the Red Skull coming back?
And all those people die and then they're like bawling as you leave?
Yeah, you don't want to be there to comfort your children?
That's the only thing that I'm like, maybe I need to be there. But it's a long movie, too. It's so long.
I totally want to go see it again. I don't.
So, all right, Nick's going to take my children.
I'll go with them, sure. Creepy right. Uncle Nick
okay,
is going
to
come.
Here's the thing, Brandon. You have to babysit Nick's children if you want him to take your children to the movie.
It's probably true.
Deal? All right.
Well, I don't know. Lena might work.
Gentlemen's agreement. Huzzah!
Lena might be all like, no, I'm not being left with the kids again. So
Lena,
if you want to do that, Nick,
Brandon,
you have to find a babysitter.
Yeah, that's what Lena would say. She'd be like, screw you.
All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up. I want to hear feedback from people. This is the, okay. I know what we all said stirred some kind of emotion in people out there because we didn't agree on everything. And that's good. And I'm glad we didn't agree on everything because we had things to talk about here. I want you to tell me how I was wrong. I want you to tell me how Nick and Jeff were right.
No,
you know,
I'm
whatever
wrong.
You want to say, because
I so mean, we, I clearly didn't
no,
know
I'm
what
pretty
Secret
sure based
Wars
off
is.
Of the sheer amount of internet, based off of the sheer amount of internet feedback that I've gotten, I'm the only one who feels this way. So send us the feedback to the Fandom Maniac group on Facebook or to our page, facebook.com/fandompodcast. We've got a website with a contact form, fandompodcast.com/contact. Twitter is @FandomCast and email is feedback@fandompodcast.com. There's like a multitude of ways. Just send us your stuff.
Can I make a suggestion to you, Brandon?
Yes.
Make a post in the Fandom Maniacs thing that is specifically spoilers. Please do not spoil this movie for someone else. I know we joked about if you're waiting for Blu-ray, just because you hear someone's waiting, don't actively spoil it for them. It sucks when you find a spoiler. If you
have the ability to spoil or not spoil, always go with not spoil. It's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Just
don't be that
just
guy.
Be nice. So, yeah, we can do that. All right. Yeah, if you want to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast. We're going to have a bunch of audio over there from Wasatch Comic Con. I'm not sure what our timeline for releases are, so by the time you're listening to this, we may have published some of it already. We may not have. If you want to hear it all, head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast, or you can click the links in the show notes that take you to our affiliates for Audible, Amazon, or CBS All Access. Until next time.
I should have stayed on the bus.
You really are the worst, brother.
May the fandom be with you.